All right, we're going to get started. Luke chapter 2. That's thank you guys for coming out this morning. Last week, and this goes with principle of right division, one of the things we were talking about, and this is what we were getting into grace. What is grace? One of the things that people always object to is they always say there's always been grace. There's grace in every age. And it's truth in that. But we use our launching verse was Romans 5, where Paul said that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And this grace is not the grace that Noah received or that Moses received or that David received. And so when you make those distinctions, you get a better understanding when Paul says we live in the dispensation of grace. It gives you an understanding of where you are and the privilege that has been afforded to us today as members of his body. So we went through those, and we just going to look at the top again, where we looked at some of the definitions of grace. And all those things are related. We said it was God's riches at Christ's expense, unmerited favor, Jesus, God's provision. And I remind you that this is what you said in a grace assembly. This is what, when you think of grace, these are the things that you came up with. So, and I'm saying it wasn't that it's wrong, because it's inclusive. All these things are related. God's provision, God's whole plan, a gift, righteousness, forgiveness, God's character, salvation. And I added some things on there that you guys didn't write. And it's based on information, faith, obedience, a relationship, a blessing. All these things, when you say grace, that's included in it. So when you go through, you see that it starts off, we talked about this, is that it all starts off, we're going to say this, with God's good pleasure. And I heard Luke's grandfather, he was making mention of some things I heard to just the tail end of it, but God's whole plan. No, I don't think this is right. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is repossession of what?
Heaven and earth.
Okay. Now, heaven and earth. I'm going to erase that. And this goes back to him working out all things after the counsel of what?
His own
will. Now, he just chose men to be a part of that. That's where you say, why? Why did he do that?
Fellowship, fellow laborers.
Why? He could have, I will use like he said to Abraham or to the Jews in his day, he could raise up these stones to what? To be Abraham's seed. Why did he choose man? Because of his grace, because of his good pleasure. It's just, this is the privilege. God says, I don't need you, but I want to use you. And you say, why? Why? Because it's his grace. It's good pleasure. Do you understand? It's not that we are so good and so great. He told that to the nation Israel. Not because you were such a great nation. Mm-hmm. I chose
because
you.
Because I loved you.
He said, I made a plan. And I said your fathers could get in on it. That's why you are a nation today, is because I made a plan. And I said to the fathers that I was going to do something with them. With Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It had nothing to do with them being such a holy and righteous nation. That's his aim. But it's not because they started off that way. It's because he chose. And that's where we started. And I'm going to get to Luke. Somebody told me, says, your summary is not a summary. A summary is 5 minutes. And you go in 15 minutes. But we picked those men. We picked those men out. You had, we didn't use Adam, but he's in it. Adam, we use what? Noah.
Moses.
We got Abraham. Moses.
David.
And then we made our way. We're talking about Christ now, right? Mm-hmm. And why did he even pick Adam? Because of his what? His purpose. His grace. He picked Noah. He picked Abraham. He picked Moses. He picked David. Now, none of these men had anything to do with their selection. He created him. You know he didn't have anything to do with it. Noah, he wrote about Noah. He said, you have a son coming, and you're going to call his name Noah. Because he's going to do this. He wasn't even born. Right? He picks Abraham. He pulls him out of what? Out of idolatry. You think he was worthy? You think he was thinking about God? Of course not. He chose him by his grace, according to his good pleasure. He picked Moses. We know that from a few weeks ago that Moses, what? He was chosen before he was born. He told his parents, you're going to have a child. So God chose him. David. We found out last week, David was where? In the sheep coat. When he went, God said that man, I like that word. He said that man is, that man's my neighbor. That's the relationship that he's, look, he's my neighbor. He hadn't even moved on the block yet. Let me say that another way. God says, I've taken the kingdom from you, Saul, and given it to a neighbor who's better than you. He called David a neighbor when David wasn't even on the street yet. What you mean on the street yet? What do I mean by that? Say it again. He hadn't even moved there yet. Samuel hadn't even met him yet. But God said, he's my what?
Amen.
God, he knows. He does these things what?
Because
of his good pleasure. Now, that's God's foreknowledge. All these men, and here's God, this is how you know when we talk about God's grace, that these things go together, because he's working these things out according to his good pleasure. And he's using all these men was part of his plan to repossess the earth. And you can see the succession or the relationship between the covenants. They all, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, they all focus on the earth. And what God is doing on the earth, or in the earth. He lost it. This is where grace comes in. He created Adam in his what? That's so he could carry out God's good pleasure. He had to educate him and equip him so he'd be able to work with God.
Same purpose.
He can say that Adam was my neighbor too. He moved. He wanted to move, didn't he? But God gave him that. He gave him that information. He gave him the privilege to work with him, to serve with him. That's all this thing you see on the top of the page. Adam received grace. He had great grace, didn't he? Mm-hmm. All these he had. He knew. Do you think he knew God's whole plan? When he put Adam in the garden and he told him that you are to
subdue, replenish,
have dominion, do you think he knew God's plan?
Well,
that's a yes. I'm just going to say yes. He knew. He wasn't operating in ignorance.
I got you. I just figured he hadn't gotten complete education.
Now, even when Noah gets off the boat, he told him the same thing. Be what? Fruitful. Multiply, replenish the earth. And he gives him the institution of human government. Do you think he knew what God's plan was? I'm going to say.
You're talking about the smaller part of the plan, not the full plan.
Right, just what his instruction, yeah. What he's given him,
you
the instruction.
He gave him clear instructions of what he wanted.
Right, for his...
Right, while he's here.
Right, right. Yeah. What he was dispensed, mm-hmm. He knew exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. What about Abraham?
Yep.
Yep.
What about Moses? Mm-hmm. What about David?
Yeah.
Okay, all these men, they received that grace. Would you say they all had a relationship?
Yeah.
With God? Mm-hmm. All of them? Even David?
Yeah.
Okay. You look at the sheet here. Did you say that these men, in God's eyesight, were they considered righteous?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you say all these men received, they
were... Wait a minute. Adam was righteous?
Adam was righteous?
No, he wasn't, was he?
Was he?
He brought sin into the world. How could he be righteous?
Right. He brought sin into the world, and God left him just like that.
Nope.
Yeah.
God shed the blood and clothed them.
So he's righteous.
Which was my next thing. Did these men receive forgiveness?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're righteous because they believe.
Because they're righteous because what?
They believed what God said to them.
And God made the what?
God made the provision
for them. All that, everything you guys said is on the top of the page.
Well, it's just like David, he was a murderer and an adulterer. But God made the provision for him. God said.
Right.
Adam was a man after God's own. David was a man after God's own.
Yeah, wait a minute. When we talk about righteousness, there's righteousness, but there's forgiveness. Okay? So was Adam righteous?
I'll leave with this, because we'll come back to that in a way. Adam was the first. He was the first man that was created in his image.
Right.
And God said he lost that.
Okay.
And that's why Scripture makes a big focus on this man, because he is the image of him who is to come. And you've heard this, that you're either in what?
Adam
or you what?
In Christ.
That's right.
Now, what he lost, he comes to restore.
Mm-hmm.
That's why everyone after him could not, right, they couldn't quite get this done. They couldn't quite I want to say couldn't quite get this done, because that's related to that. They're all connected. And we, for those who are here, we know that being created in this image is, you're talking about total, committed worship and service. So when you say that, this, there's a lot that he lost. And even though he ruined that relationship, him being the figure of him that's to come, God is going to recover with this man everything that that man lost.
I can see the grace coming, but I can't see where you say he's righteous.
Okay, we'll say this. Just because you... If he received forgiveness...
Well, he's righteous the same way we are. Mm-hmm. We're declared righteous.
If he... If God... When God clothed him with...
his righteousness.
When he shed the blood, right?
We're clothed in his
blood. Okay. He got forgiveness.
Right.
Of what?
Disobedience.
Of what?
Disobedience.
Of disobedience. Of what?
Sin.
Mm-hmm. Sin. Okay. So, if he got forgiveness of sin, what is it if it's not, if God looks at him and says, I've forgiven you.
He's declaring you righteous.
But, I've forgiven you, but you're still not right with me.
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, if you give him forgiveness, you give him total forgiveness.
See,
right.
Here's a... I'm just going to say it. In Romans 5, when he says, by one man sin entered into the world,
right,
and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. And he starts talking about, not like this man, the free gift is by this man. So he could have individual forgiveness, and God would look at him as righteous. But his effects still passed on to us. He still lost the image. He got forgiveness, he got forgiveness of sins, he got righteousness, but he didn't get that restored. That's why he can say, by one man, death passed, sin passed upon all. So,
he's... Though it wasn't after the similar thing.
Even though it was not after the same thing, but he still lost the image and it still has to be restored. So, he's the figure of him. Let me say it a different way. Sometimes you could do things that only thing I can think about was IRS. Is suppose you make some bad decisions and you lose all your money, everything, and so you go to the IRS and they say, you know what, we know that you did it through ignorance, and tell you what, we're going to forgive you of your debt, of your responsibility of paying this back. And you say, that's great. They're not going to give you your money back. They're not going to say, we're going to set you back up with $50,000, and then you just go out and make the right decisions. You're going to say, look, I lost my house, I lost my car, I lost my job, I lost my family, I'm living in a shelter. And they're going to say, well, we're going to forgive you of your debt, but...
I'll put you back to the image.
But we can't restore you back to where you were. So, you know what? Suppose you had 10 kids.
They're going to suffer because of what?
They're going to suffer what? Because of what you did.
Yeah.
You say, well, Dad, how much you owe them? I don't owe them anything now. They forgave me the debt.
We're still broke.
Why? Can we go back home? No. Why not?
Because
I messed up. I thought you said they forgive you. They did. So what are we going to do? I got to get another job. and get it back. I got to get another job and get it back. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why it's free. Because he says, I know you didn't do anything to add to that. And you won't do anything to add to this. Okay.
And I think we look at righteousness a lot different. We just look at it like how someone acts or, you know, and, you know, when you're forgiven, yeah, you're righteous under his eyes.
Like they got a halo or something. Like,
that's why when we talk about it, we talk about
imputed.
Yeah, we talk about this grace. The first thing they say is, you mean to tell me?
You're perfect.
What were we talking about, Johnny, last night?
I can do anything I want.
You mean to tell me that I could do anything I want to do and still be saved? I could do anything I want to do and still be forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Johnny, he said, you know they got the picture because they asked you that question, right?
No.
It's clear. Now, I don't know if that helped us.
It's okay. I'm not there yet.
Okay. We'll pepper it. We'll try to. Okay. So, Luke 2.
Maybe we can do it this way. Quicker. What's the definition, biblical definition of righteousness?
That's I was thinking when she said that.
And I was just thinking, because, you know, we went through this with the definition of what's perfect. There's man's definition of perfect, and then there's Scripture's definition of perfect.
Okay, what is the definition?
I think more this way. If God made the provision for you, can you just believe Him?
Sure.
Can you just believe?
That's all you
For example, He said this. You've been forgiven. All trespasses. You. I'm talking about you right now, today. You read that. God has forgiven you all trespasses. Can you believe that?
Yes.
What happens tomorrow when you trespass?
It's still forgiven.
What? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You might feel guilty, but you're still forgiven.
Okay. Because what?
Because He made the provision.
You realizing that what we've been talking about, this is God's what? Provision. It's salvation. It's forgiveness. It's His righteousness. So that's why I say you go out. Excuse me. People say all the time, I'm saved by grace. And they still look at themselves and say, I don't really feel like what we say. I don't really feel saved. I don't feel forgiven.
Or you don't feel righteous.
I don't feel righteous. But the fact is that the person that gave it to you cannot what? Huh? He cannot lie. And He knows that it's based
on what He did.
It's based off of, yeah.
Oh, can't, even,
can't even get the cross right now. It's based. It's what?
Off of His provision.
You know what? And I'm going to say, because Luke chapter 2 is based off now some abundant grace. Some exceeding abundant grace. Luke chapter 2. Now. That's why when he gets to Christ, that's why I put a question mark there where it says, Christ received grace? With a question mark. He received it because we think about Christ, he don't need grace.
Yeah, it's like He is grace.
Right, He is. And that's why when He comes, Christ comes. It said the law was by Moses.
Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
And they said in the beginning he was as who? As God. He was in existence as God. And and the fullness. He was fullness. He is fullness, right? Christ comes, takes on a body, the form of a servant, found in the likeness of man, right?
Yeah.
And became a servant.
Obedient.
Okay. Now, obedient, and we talked about it. Obedient to who?
Father.
To who?
Father.
If he is already existing, right,
uh-huh,
as the Father, then he comes down and becomes obedient. And I'll say again, obedient to who?
The Father's good pleasure.
Because this goes back to what Bob was saying. Just because Adam was forgiven, it does not reverse the effects of what he caused. So God, in his justice, he has to come down and he fixes this himself. Well, this is a man. What you say? No, it's not. All right. This is a man. How about that? You got God, and then you got, we'll say Jesus. I don't like that. We'll do it this way. Even though we got God here and you got man here. And we know that Jesus Christ was the God-man. So as God, all fullness is there, right? How much grace? How much grace?
Full of grace.
Full of grace. Okay. How much wisdom?
Knowledge.
Full of wisdom. How much knowledge?
He has a determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
So everything, he's what? It's fullness
of the Godhead bodily.
So there's nothing on here that he's not aware of. Because he's working everything after the counsel, what?
Of his own will.
Okay, when he takes upon the form of a servant and he comes down, that's where we looked at Luke chapter 2. He says, Luke chapter 2, he says, verse 39, and when they had performed all things, oh, you know what? I just noticed that we never prayed.
Well, I thought the beginning was going to read a verse and then pray something.
Well,
got into it.
Okay. Forgive me for that. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the
grace.
The what?
The grace of God.
The grace of God was upon him. And that's why I put the question mark there. Is he starts off and he's still growing in spirit and in the grace of God. And I asked the question last week, how does he do that? How does Jesus as a child grow in the grace of God and in the spirit and wisdom?
Through the word.
That's all. So you look at that again, and he's in chapter 2. We looked at verse 50. When they saw him in the temple, they went back to get him, and they understood, verse 48. And when they saw him, we might as well go back to 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood exactly what he meant.
Understood not.
What? Why didn't they understand what he meant?
Well, probably because they were thinking of his earthly father.
Probably because they, like Joseph, you know what?
Carpenter.
Unless he was in the temple taking measurements,
yeah.
They knew that what?
Yeah, he wasn't there for Joseph.
That's not your father's business. As a matter of fact, we were almost home, and you're still here. So they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased. Wait, look up here for a minute. He increased in what?
His wisdom.
In wisdom and what?
Stature.
And what? Wisdom and stature and what?
Favor with God.
And favor with who?
God and man.
Okay, if I have to increase, do I have it all?
No.
If I have to, do I have it all or don't I? He increased in what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, which means that what?
He didn't have it all.
He didn't have what? He didn't have it all. If he grew in stature, he had. If he grew in favor, how do you know that?
Because the word says that.
Did I write that?
No.
I can't, if I got it all, I can't increase in it. If I have it all, I cannot increase in it. Right? Give me all that water. If I take all his water and I say, give me the water, what is he going to say? So, that's why the question mark. Now, he's doing this for a reason.
To learn obedience.
And Philippians says he was in the form. And he took on another form. And became obedient unto death, even the death of what?
The cross.
Even the death of the cross. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you think he needed grace to go to the cross?
No.
No. All right, let me ask it another way. Do you think, was at any point in Jesus' life that he had some questions about the cross?
Gethsemane.
What did he say?
If it be possible, let this cup pass.
That means he knew what was going on. He knew what was going on.
He had experienced it.
But he said, nevertheless.
My will, your will, not mine.
Nevertheless, not my good pleasure, but what?
Your will.
Because remember we talked about what Adam lost? He says, I'm totally committed to the Father's plan. Right? So he says, I know what's at stake. Not my will, but yours. So he goes to the cross, right?
Foreknowledge of it isn't experience,
isn't. Now, so he is. Scripture calls him the second what?
The second. Christ was the second Adam.
Yes. Why do you think he called him the second Adam?
Well, Adam brought in sin, and Jesus took it
out. Adam what? Brought in
sin. Jesus took it out.
Okay. Now.
What gets me, I get all this, but when you go to Hebrews, every one of the people you talked about, other than Adam, was in Hebrews and saying the righteous. But Adam was not in Hebrews. We were talking about being righteous.
Okay. Hebrews chapter 1.
Chapter
1.
Okay.
Well, with Israel, their history and references all refer back to Abraham, whereas Paul takes us all the way back to Adam.
Yes. Now, and I think that's the same way with Romans 5 is what Adam lost is Christ is coming to restore. Which is what?
The image.
Okay. So without whatever Adam had, and he was when the grace that he had, he was able by his equipping to worship and serve God. He willingly disobeyed, right? So after he disobeys, then everyone after that was created what?
In the image. And we
always say, well, what does that mean? Because today you'll ask them a question and they'll say that we are created in God's image. We are. But Genesis chapter 5 says, no, what? So you go through a genealogy and it says they all died.
Right.
And then you read Christ's genealogy and it's what? Who said that? I heard somebody say that. Yes, they begat. So if you didn't even know anything, you could still deduce that there's something wrong with this guy. But when you talk about Christ, you can see there's something different, can't you? So when he does that, we say, what was lost? What when you say the image, what was lost?
Well, immortality was lost.
Well, he never ate of the tree of knowledge. He never ate of the tree of life. What was lost was
eternal life.
Worship and serve for his plan.
That the dominion was lost, and that's when he said the images. Not only was, let me say it this way.
The possession of heaven and earth.
Yeah, I mean, he gave up, we know he gave up the heaven, the earth. But his willingness to cooperate, like the Son, he says, not what? Not my will, but what?
Your
will. He says, I'm committed. He says, I'm committed. He says, to what you're doing. Not what I want to do. And Christ comes. That's why he says he was obedient unto death. So he asked the Father, how far you want me to go? He says, how far you want to go? And the son says, what?
It's up to you.
And the Father says, no.
It's up to you.
And he said, well, this is what it's going to cost. And he says, wow. That much? And he said, that much. And he says, tell you what. I'm just dramatizing this. And he says, tell you what. Think about it. Think about it and get back to me. Anytime you want to
change it,
quit,
is there another way?
Anytime you want to quit, let me know. So he's there. He's there. Somebody said he's in the garden. And he said, "This, it's right around the corner now." And this is serious. So he's thinking, and he say, "Is there any other way?" And he says, "Not to do this." He says, "Okay, let's go." Now, this is why I say the grace is without Jesus Christ receiving that grace, which is he knew exactly what. When you think about this, he goes, he knows what God's plan is. He's committed to his plan. He's walking the earth and he knows.
He's headed to the cross.
Right. He knows that he's going with these from a baby. From 6 months to 12 years to 30 years old. He's always what?
About his father's business.
Increasing. Right. So when he's walking on earth, he makes statements like what we talked about. Your sins be forgiven. What? Or he knew what was in man. He didn't need it not that any would testify of him because he knew what was in man. So he could be aware of what has to be done, but as the son, he still has to do what?
Do it. Right here, John 7.
He has to do it.
That's the real Lord's Prayer in the garden. And he says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Servant, obedient. Yeah, this is before the cross, but...
And when he gets to the cross, he says what? It is what?
Finished.
It's what?
Finished.
Was finished.
The work that he was given to do. To restore the image.
Now, I said Hebrews. Hebrews.
One,
right.
I've been reading it 2 or 3 times.
I'm sorry about I want two.
Okay.
Two. That. Say it again. Let's start at verse 5. "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the what?
Suffering
of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste what?
Death.
Taste for every man. For it became him. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, when he says that he tasted death for every man, is he experienced it for every man. Now this man,
so that by imputation because to us, we can live with him forever. We can have that restored image.
Okay, right. Now, this man tasted death for every man, too.
Yep, sure did.
But not the way that this man tasted death. When he tasted it, it caused death. But when
he
tasted it, right, it gave, it begot. It was a begotten, to where he was able to take away the effects
and gave life
to the sons. That's why in John chapter 1, when he came, he says, he came to his own received him not.
But to them who received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God.
He already knew. He knows that he can go through the Gospels and he can say, you know what? Abide in me. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have
life.
What? He's walking around. He's walking around with him. And he said, does this offend you?
And then he walked not with him.
So, but he knows what has to be done to get us back. Now they still have to Hebrews, the Jews, he's going to come back. And then they'll do that. For them, you know what it is? It's the New Testament. Now take out your what? Stony heart, give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways, keep my statutes. But while they were under the other covenant, what kind of heart did they have?
Stony heart.
And they can say, they would say, we want to worship and serve you. But really, what happened?
They didn't have the capacity to. They were trying to do it with flawed building materials.
So, now, not to get too far off the grace, the reason why God, he gave individuals grace. And that's kind of like this. That's kind of calling them into the room and giving them an assignment. And everything they need to do to work it out. But it was just isolated. Just a few people. It was limited. So, like, who knew what Noah knew? They were recipients. Who knew what Moses knew? They were recipients. Who knew what Abraham knew? Now, as we go farther, we find out, when I say who knew what Paul knew, when we talk about the abundant grace that we received from Paul, then he says, now God wants you to know what? How much of his will?
Manifold wisdom.
How much of his will does he want? We talk about, you know, I was riding over here today, and I'm riding by all kind of holes in the wall, just like this, where everybody's in a little hole in the wall, preaching, teaching, and I'm riding through, it's like, there's one right there, there's one right there, there's one over there, there's a big one right there, here's one that the car's all the way out on the street, and I'm thinking, I'm riding by, and I think, how many in there would even understand half of what we're talking about? How many know about the grace they have today?
Almost none.
Now, you know where they're in there? They're in there back on Abraham's grace. They're back on David's grace. And my people who are called by my name, you know, they're back
Acts 2.
We're they're even back in the Gospels.
Yeah.
If you touch and agree, they're all back here trying to be recipients of what God told them.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how disappointed are they going to be? But you just keep going. They keep going because if they're sincere, they're still looking forward to work. And Paul says,
and it's like you said in the very beginning, this is all about God's good pleasure. Everybody's looking for, they're seeing it as them being the center point of this plan. That's why they're looking for God's will. Or like when I talked to the gentleman that's renovating the house next door, he says, "No, God's all over me." And I said, "Oh, you're a Christian." He said, "Oh, no, I believe in a higher power." And I just thought, here's a guy, things are going well in his life, and he says, "That's God all over me." But he doesn't even know who God is. And that's the same way so many people that are sitting in the churches today with the Bible, and they really don't know who God is or what God's good pleasure is.
Well, that's true. Now, I'm just going to say this so we can wrap it up. By the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. Now, even when that was written, he wasn't writing to Gentiles. He's the one that tells us what the benefits of what happened at the cross was passed on to us. We received abundant grace that way. But he says he tasted death for every man. He took out, and we covered this before, he took sin. He took sin out of the way. He took death out of the way. He took the law out of the way. All these things are when he tasted death, these are all obstacles for us to achieve that image. Because in 1 Corinthians, he says this. He said, the strength of
sin.
The sting of death is what?
Sin.
And the strength of sin is the law. In Hebrews, he said that he came to destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Okay? Now, we were talking about this yesterday. This guy right here, that's your old man. He's stuck. He's on the performance. All this is him. When Christ comes, he says, "I'm coming to, by the grace of God, I want to help you out. Because if I help you out, you can help him out. Or he can use you." So he takes care, what does he take care of?
All those things on that list.
Christ, he died for what?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where's, he destroyed the law, right? He took away the law commandments. There's no law, there's no sin. Where there's no sin, the wages of sin,
there's
no death. That's why we sleep in Christ. He said in Romans 6, he said he crucified us what? With him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And Colossians 2, he said he triumphed over the principalities and powers in the cross, made a show of them openly. Now, he said, this is where we have abundant grace. And that's what we'll pick up next week is this. He says, now, after you trust him, everything that we talked about when he talked about the fullness, And Paul says the fullness of the Godhead was in where? In him. So when he gets to the cross, having been obedient unto death by the grace of God, and he tastes death for every man, and he says, "What's wrong with me, Father?" And he says, "Nothing." But he still goes to the cross and he dies because he takes on what?
Humanity.
By the grace of God, he's taking on what? Mm-hmm. Your sin, my sin. And he dies, and then Paul, when the plan is realized, and he says, "Good job. Good job, son."
Well done.
He says, "Where because of that, he has also what?
Highly exalted
him.
Given him a name that's above every name."
And now he says, not only that, he says, "I can now, now that I've secured everything," that's what Karen was saying, "now I can impute unto you," I can impute. Now, this is not you. Anybody know what that word means? Impute.
Put it on someone else.
Put it on someone else. With a cost.
That's correct.
No.
With or without their knowledge.
He puts it on someone else. Freely. So when you trust him and you get imputed what? Righteousness. Everything that he did was imputed to you. It's put on your account. And you say, "What did I do to get that?" And you said, "You just trust him." Now, by grace, I give you that. By grace. Because of my good pleasure. Because I have something that I want you to do. And you don't even know it. Yet. That's what Paul said. Listen, if you've heard of what? The dispensation.
Of the grace.
If you heard of the grace that God has given out.
To me, to you. Or how
that he wants you to have. He said, if you heard of this. And they say, We never heard of that. We never heard of that. You remember, Johnny, we were talking about last night, Word of God. Have you heard, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And then they said,
we never heard so much.
We haven't heard if there be any Holy Ghost. Well, guess what they didn't have?
Information,
knowledge, power. They didn't have any of the half of the plan. They didn't know that. They were missing out on some what?
Information.
They were missing out on some what?
Grace.
Grace. Grace. Grace. Yeah. They were missing out on some grace. So you talk to people today, guess what they're missing out on?
Some grace.
Not just some grace.
Oh.
That grace.
He said it's the exceeding abundant grace. The much more grace.
Right.
So you walk around and they say, "Have you heard of imputed righteousness?" And he said, "We haven't heard whether there be any imputed righteousness." And he's like, "Well, what are you trusting in?" Well, he's gonna give you the list. He's gonna give you this we talked about yesterday is he can't be saved. Why not? Because you say he can't be saved?
Mm.
You're not familiar with the grace. That's this grace that you have access into. So you will say this, "Well, he can't do that and be saved." Well,
mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
What you
saved, right?
Right.
What are you doing that somebody else will look at you and say, "You can't be doing that and be saved." But you will look at him and say, "I don't know if he really saved, because he's not doing what I like."
your few rules.
But yeah, see, and the list's going to change, because I talked to Mike, he got a list. I talked to Jenny, she has a list. Yeah. Talked to Bob, he has a list. And God says,
"What about Mala?
I don't have one." I don't have a list.
Right.
How could you do that, God?
Because I did it all.
Because right, I didn't consult with you when I worked my plan out. My grace plan. Now, next week, we're going to look at Paul and try to, in Ephesians 3, is it? Yeah. And then narrow it down to this grace wherein we stand. We just hinted on it today a little bit. So we're going to stop there and pick up next week. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We pray that as we continue to study about the grace of God and how it's been displayed throughout ages, and in particularly in this day of grace, we just thank you for the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf. We thank you for the abundant grace that has been given to us. And Lord, we just thank you above all things for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and made these things possible. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.